Good afternoon. I think I probably told you this last time I was here. Remember when it was, maybe a couple of years ago, when we were on our way up here. I have my two oldest with me, and when we were on our way up here, I told them that that I started off here. If they know anybody that's over 50 years old that's in the church at either Smart Road or Murray Road, that they may well have gotten their start off here at Gregory. You guys probably don't remember, but when I was 8 months old, I was here, and then Murray Road started up after that. So I appreciate being back, and been here many times over the years for meetings, and used to run around with some of the kids that went to church here and such. So have lots of fond memories here with this group. Thank you for letting me come to be with you this afternoon. Over the years, one of the characteristics of a Christian that I have often thought that I did not really struggle with was in the area of pride. I have never felt like I was better than others at things. I like to do my best at whatever I am doing, of course, but have never thought that I was the best at certain things. Whenever I have gotten acknowledgement for something in my work life, I try to make sure I give credit to whoever else was involved, and also to the Lord as much as I can, and also tend towards the mindset and the work setting of, well, that is what you're paying me to do. You're paying me to do this work for you, so you don't need to compliment me or reward me beyond that or anything. I realize that whatever things that I have been able to accomplish is because the Lord has given me the abilities to accomplish those things. So aside from whatever I've stated in the last minute or so here, I have never thought that pride was a problem for me. This sounds a little funny because it sounds like I'm kind of a little proud that I'm not proud as I'm saying this. So that's something for me to consider as I go forward. But I wanted to say all that in order to kind of set the point for my lesson for today. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. As I have been studying lately in my life, I have come across this idea, specifically in this passage and other places in the Word, in my studies, and have come to a realization about myself. I probably, and probably is not even the right word, I don't, as much as I should, ask God to give me the wisdom as often as I should in my life. And the more I think about this and ponder why that is, I can only come to the conclusion that it is because I think I have the wisdom that I need already to do whatever I need to do on my own. I tend to think, I've got this, I can handle this, I'm okay, I can deal with this. I don't mean to say that I do not study enough or I don't pray to God enough, but I don't find myself asking for God to provide me with his wisdom as I ought. I am a husband, a father, a son, a brother in Christ, an employee, a neighbor, a citizen, and many other things. I don't have the wisdom of myself necessary to perform all of the tasks and duties of these various roles as God would have me to do. I need the wisdom of God in order to live as God wants me to do in all of my various roles throughout my life. I need the wisdom of God to help me to perform these functions according to his will. And I think everyone in our audience today also needs the wisdom of God to live their lives according to his will. The reason I started off talking about pride is only to relate why this topic has struck me at this time. And pride is not going to be my topic today, but rather is the aspect of my life that has caused me to give consideration to this topic today. Apparently, pride has been enough of a problem for me that I have not thought to often humble myself to God in a manner to ask Him to grant me the wisdom that I so greatly need to perform all of my tasks on this earth, to do the things that I need to do, to take care of the things I'm responsible for. I do often go to Him asking His help in dealing with certain things in my life, but I don't always ask for the wisdom which only He can grant to me to deal with these things. It is always better for us to just admit we need the wisdom of God to help us out in all the different areas of our lives, various different aspects of our lives, that we need godly wisdom in order to perform those functions as He would have us to. So in looking at my thoughts for today, I want us to all leave here after our lesson with a few things in our minds, with the knowledge that we should be asking God for His wisdom to help us out in our everyday lives. We should be asking God to provide His wisdom in order for us to better serve Him in all that we do. I want us to leave here knowing that our asking God for His wisdom pleases Him. It makes Him happy as long as we have His will in mind. The wisdom of this world will not do anything good or worthwhile for us, only the wisdom of God. As we all know, the person that we look to in the Word in discussing God granting wisdom is King Solomon. Turning over to the passage in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We read about Solomon and him asking God for wisdom. In chapter 3 and verse 5, we start. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" So we have God appearing to Solomon. Solomon's sleeping, Solomon's dreaming, and God opens the door for him. "What do you need? What can I do for you?" Continuing on verses 6 through 9. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So God, we see God opening the door here and Solomon making his request. Solomon's request was he wanted an understanding heart so he could judge between good and evil in order to better rule God's people. Solomon wanted wisdom, and he wanted God's wisdom so that he could take care of God's people. Continuing on, verse 10 and 11. Why did this request by Solomon please the Lord? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice." This pleased the Lord because Solomon did not make a selfish request, a request to make his life easier, but rather a request to make the lives of God's people better because of God's wisdom that Solomon requested for himself. He wanted to be able to discern good and evil for the children of God. Again, because it was not a selfish request, but a request to help others, that God was pleased. God's answer to Solomon's request follows in the next three verses, continuing on, 12 through 14. "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So because of Solomon's humble request for wisdom to judge God's people, and not great wealth or great power or something else for himself, for selfish reasons, God granted Solomon that he would have wisdom, unlike anyone who had ever lived before him or anyone who would ever live after him. We often hear it said from this pulpit throughout our Christian lives that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. So God will always be pleased with us if we ask for wisdom in order to act in the Christian manner that God wills for us in whatever area that we are seeking wisdom in. Much like Solomon, we would be asking for the ability to act as God would have us act if we are granted the wisdom that we seek, to be able to discern good and evil, just like Solomon asked. Just like Solomon wanted to be able to discern between good and evil to rule the children of Israel, so will God grant us willingly wisdom if we seek to discern good and evil in our endeavors, in our earthly walk, in all of our roles in this life. So this speech pleased the Lord. Not only was God willing to grant the wisdom that Solomon had asked for, but this was something that pleased God. This is something that pleases God today when we ask him for his wisdom to perform his will in our lives. Again, not for selfish reasons, but for spiritual reasons, so that we can be the man or woman that God wants us to be, so that we can be the husband or wife, the father or mother, the son or daughter that God so wants us to become, if we only ask him for such spiritual wisdom. All of the things that I find in the Bible that are said to please God are spiritual things, things that show God that we are striving to live a life according to his will. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, we read, Hebrews 13 and 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's pleased when we are striving to do his will, that we are obeying him. It pleases him certainly when we are obeying him. 1 Samuel 15 and 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So he is pleased when we obey him. He is pleased when we fear him, as we see in Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy. He takes pleasure when we have faith in him. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It pleases God that we want his wisdom in order to better live our lives for him, to make better decisions in our lives that will lead us closer to him, and help lead others closer to him also. If we want to please God, and I know we do, we will ask for his wisdom to direct our lives. As we can read about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. God is pleased when we ask for spiritual things from him. He wants to provide us with the tools necessary to make our walk with him as profitable as possible. As long as he knows that the intents of our hearts are to use the wisdom that we ask for to help ourselves to better perform for him as a Christian, to help lead others to him, to live our lives as a sacrifice for him, then he will give us what we ask for. We should know that he is pleased by that request. What is the wisdom of God worth? So once we have the wisdom that God can give us, and the wisdom that God gives us is certainly greater than any wisdom that we can acquire of our own volition, any earthly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. So certainly the wisdom of God is far above anything that man can offer. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. If worldly wisdom is against God's wisdom, then it is not real wisdom. It is a false wisdom. Wisdom that cannot stand up against the wisdom of God is false. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Again, the wisdom of this world is foolish compared to the wisdom of God. There has never been anyone who lived who could argue worldly wisdom in any way against God as superior to God's wisdom. It is not possible. Turning over to Job chapter 28. Job 28 verses 12 and 13 and verse 15. Job 28, 12 and 13 and 15. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. As we know, God's wisdom is priceless. It cannot be purchased with gold or silver or any other currency. In fact, it is not even for sale. God gives it to us willingly if we only follow him and ask and seek his wisdom. How do we obtain this wisdom that we request of God? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Also in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And also in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We gain this wisdom of God by obtaining knowledge of him. The more knowledge we have, the more opportunity for our godly wisdom to grow. How do we understand or comprehend this wisdom of God? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. It's a long passage. I'm not going to read the entire passage, but just a couple of select verses. But this passage is a good place to go to look for the answer to that. This is a good passage for answering this question. In this passage, we read about the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this age or the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God, which is far superior than any wisdom that man can offer. As we see in verses 12 and 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It is through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we are able to understand the wisdom that God supplies to us. We need to have the Holy Spirit in order to fully understand the wisdom that we are asking God for, in order to be able to discern the good and evil in our lives. As we know, God has supplied us with a portion of the Spirit when we follow him and are baptized. Now, if we ask God for wisdom, we have the Spirit within us to help us to unlock or attain that wisdom, to help us to understand the words that God has given us. And where that wisdom can be found, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, scripture that we know well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We must go to his word to gain the wisdom that he has to offer us. During the time of King Solomon, I think God possibly bestowed upon him supernaturally a great level of godly wisdom, because they didn't have the written word to go to as we do today, certainly not the whole written word. He had access to some of the oldest writings, but did not have what we have today. During our time, in order for us to attain the wisdom that we ask of God, we must go and search for that wisdom within his word. All the wisdom that is necessary for us to live a godly life on this earth is contained in his word. God assisting us with gaining this wisdom is through prayer for said wisdom and much studying, assisted by the Holy Spirit that God gives us upon our baptism. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will help us to discern good and evil and help us to apply God's wisdom to our lives. If we ask God for his wisdom, he expects us to use that wisdom for his good. He expects us to seek out his wisdom in the word and use that wisdom for spiritual things, for good, to help lead others to follow him. When we seek the wisdom of God, it is not for us to then discard that wisdom and go with our own wisdom or the wisdom of the world. We are to follow the wisdom of the Lord. We are not to be unstable in our ways. We are not to use the wisdom of God when it feels right and then switch back and forth to the wisdom of man as we see fit, whenever we think we can find a better way. Whenever we think, I can handle this, I've got this. When we ask for the wisdom of God, we are to do as we are told in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we seek out and utilize the wisdom of God in our lives, we are drawing nearer to God, and God is in turn drawing nearer to us. We need to do this continuously throughout our lives. It's not a one-time thing. It's going to be an everyday thing. We should not be double-minded, drawing closer to God and his wisdom for a time, and then drawing nearer to the wisdom of man when it suits us. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In much the same vein, we cannot serve God's wisdom and man's wisdom. We've got to make our choice. We need to serve God's wisdom. We need to follow God's wisdom. We cannot follow the wisdom of man. We must always follow the wisdom of God. Seek out God's wisdom. Serve the wisdom of God. If you remember, the first passage I looked at was in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And looking at that passage, the specific reason that James was telling the brethren to ask for the wisdom of God was because in the first few verses, it is talking of the various trials that they were going through. This is certainly the times when we are fervently praying to God for assistance and how to deal with different issues we have going on in our lives. Times of trials, whether it's problems at work, situations at home, or issues that we are dealing with in our kids' lives. We need to ask God for the wisdom he has in abundance in order to help us out with these situations. God will grant us the wisdom we need based on the insights that the Holy Spirit can provide us as we meditate upon his word. And he will give this to us liberally or generously, as is mentioned in verse 5 of James chapter 1, and without reproach. God knows our hearts, and he knows that we are coming to him out of a dutiful and obedient heart to him. He will help us. He wants to help us. As we discussed earlier, he is pleased to help us. So as we prepare to bring our thoughts to a close this afternoon, I want us to leave here today with the knowledge that we should be asking God for his wisdom in our everyday lives. We should be asking God to provide his wisdom in order for us to better serve him in all that we do, to better show him through our example to our children, to those around us in this world, our neighbors, our co-workers. I want us to leave here knowing that our asking God for his wisdom pleases him and makes him happy as long as we have his will in mind. What better thing can we strive to do than that which pleases the Father? The wisdom of this world will not do anything good or worthwhile for us, only the wisdom of God. Let us also, going back to Solomon, as we close here, let us also remember the lesson of Solomon. It's said in the Word that Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. But did Solomon always use that wisdom for God's glory? No, we know the story of Solomon well, and Solomon followed the wisdom of man at different times in his life. He had all the different wives that led him down different paths, paths that were not those of the Lord. He did different things that he should not have been doing throughout his life. He did not always follow the wisdom of God. So that tells us it's not just about asking God for wisdom once or twice or three times. It needs to be a constant thing, a continual thing throughout our lives. We need to always be refocusing ourselves on asking God for his wisdom and following his wisdom. We need to always remember, I will never have enough wisdom of myself to be able to do what I need to do. I will always need God to help me out in anything and everything I do in this life. As we read in verse 6 of James chapter 1, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. If there's anyone with us this afternoon that would like to begin to live a life following the wisdom of God, and we give you that opportunity this time to come forward, or if you've got anything else you need to bring before the body, you can come forward at this time as we stand and sing.